Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Merry Christmas. Isn't this wonderful?
Yippee! I love Christmas.
Christmas is a time for me that from when we're really, really young, like our families would have these, I mean, we'd have 12, 14 people over and just have...
Me being one of them.
That's right. Well, Roy and I are friends for 40 years, and we've spent many Christmases over the years, and some Christmases we didn't spend together because we're 1,500 miles apart. But because of this podcast, because of the show, totally useless information with Nick and Roy, we're able to meet up every week.
We spend more quality time with each other than we do with our wives.
But welcome to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. We have a whole jam-packed hour of fun stuff for you. We have special guests. We have a very, 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 very special guest at the end of the show. And we also have some of our favorite Christmas songs and Christmas traditions.
Right. Now, usually Nick and I are 1,500 miles apart, but today we are in an indescript location. Let's just put it this way. We had to take three flights. I had to take three. Nick took two. Mm-hmm. Then we had to take, I took a snowmobile. Nick took a dog sled, which I don't know why they call it a dog sled. They should call it a people sled.
Right.
They call it a horse-drawn carriage. They don't call it a horse carriage.
Not sure why.
And anyway, I didn't know horses were that good at artwork.
They were.
Hey, but having said that, we're in an indescript building, let's put it this way, down the block from Santa Claus.
What?
Yes. And we're going to have special guests ring the doorbell and come into the party, isn't which I think is so cool. We have guests talking about animals and food and pop culture and all kinds of cool Christmas stuff. This is going to be a blast. And I'll tell you the truth. To me, Christmas is the best time of year. And if you are like arguing with somebody, a friend or a family member, it's the time of year where you let it go. And if you haven't spoke to that person, give them a call, because to me, Christmas is amazing and you should share it with your family and friends. To me, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
You're listening to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. We thank you for joining us this Christmas, and we are really thrilled.
I just looked out the window.
Yeah.
Did you see the elf?
I did. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. Was that an elf out there?
Yes. I thought it, I couldn't figure it out. They were under the windowsill.
I wonder what they're looking for.
If it wasn't for the pile of packages that he was carrying, I wouldn't have known it was an elf.
I just heard the microwave. I have to go grab the hors d'oeuvres. I'll be right back.
That was the microwave, or was that the doorbell?
No, it was the microwave. You want to get that, Roy?
Who is it, Nick?
It's Richard Krause.
Hey. Hey, it's great to see you. It took me forever to get here.
You were on the dog sled?
Well, I was on the dog sled. Before that, I was on Santa's sleigh for a short while. It took 3 plane rides. I had to skate part of the way across a frozen lake. It's taken forever to get here.
Oh, Santa sent the guest sleigh for you?
Yes.
That's a big deal.
We don't
get that
treatment, and it's our show. It's our party.
I expect nothing less.
It's a lot smaller than his, but his sleigh. It says Santa Airlines on the side. It's so cool.
Yeah. S.A.R. Richard Krause, of course, is with iHeartRadio. He's the host of Pop Life Podcast and a brand new podcast, Last Call, which we'll talk about. But Richard, I'm noticing, I mean, I don't mean to be like an ungrateful host or anything, but usually when people come over to a Christmas party, they bring either like a bottle of wine or a treat or something. But I don't see any of that. Like, what did you bring to this party?
Well, I brought some trivia to this party.
Another one that didn't bring liquor. Clearly wrote BYB on the invitation.
Yeah, BYOT. And since Richard is all about pop life, he brought some pop life type stuff. So what did you bring?
Well, I heard you singing Jingle Bells as I was walking up the walker, skating to get into the place. And I was thinking about that song. And Jingle Bells was written in 1857, a couple hundred years ago. But it was written by a guy called James Lord Pierpont. And, you know, that name probably doesn't ring a bell unless you've got the sheet music for Jingle Bells. But the thing that's cool about it is that James Lord Pierpont is actually J.P. Morgan's uncle.
Oh,
so yeah. One of the great financiers of the 20th century was related to the guy that wrote Jingle Bells. He didn't make a dime off Jingle Bells, but he made a lot of money other ways. And originally, that song wasn't called Jingle Bells. It was called One Horse Open Sleigh. And then a couple of years later, when they published the sheet music, they changed the name to it. So you've got a couple of things there. And it's also the first song that was ever broadcast from space. So
yeah, yes, that's right.
Yeah, in 1965, 2 astronauts aboard the Gemini 6 had just completed a rendezvous with Gemini 7 when they got this weird message about an unidentified flying object, and there was a lot of description. Well, it turns out it's Santa's sleigh that's whizzing through space, and they had a harmonica with them, and they sang Jingle Bells, first song ever sung from space.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan changed it to Jingle Coins.
Yeah, that's right.
What else did you bring for us, Richard?
Well, Christmas trees. We just put up the Christmas tree before I left to come up and visit you guys. And we use an artificial tree. There's no point living in the city getting a real tree. They're hard to get. So I was looking up old Christmas tree trivia. And in the late 19th century, German people used artificial Christmas trees. I thought that they were much more recent than that, but they used artificial Christmas trees that were just metal wires covered in the feathers of like turkeys and ostriches and swans. Normally the feathers were dyed green, so it kind of looked a little bit like a tree, but they were just these wire trees. But I love that in the 1930s they made the first real aluminum tree, so it kind of looked like the tree that we know today, except that it was made from silver. And so it had kind of a space age look to it, I guess. But it also kind of looks like a toilet brush. And there's a reason for that, because the Addis Brush Company were one of the main creators of toilet brushes. They're the ones that invented the aluminum Christmas tree, and they made it on the same machinery that they made toilet brushes with.
Yeah, and that's why the first Christmas trees came with the smelly pine-scented Christmas tree thing made out of used toilet brushes.
So they
had to cover up the smell somehow.
Okay, you just blew my mind here. It's not the
it drink. Doesn't really take much to be good. Yeah,
exactly. You're listening to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party, and I thank you for joining us here on this Christmas here. And Richard Krause is with us, and I think, like, imagine a factory that makes toilet brushes. The guy said, "Let's make Christmas trees out of these." Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, thinking ahead, and they sold a gabillion of them for many, many years.
You can't brush that one off.
And so everybody knows The Night Before Christmas, that poem. It's 56 lines written by Clement Clark Moore. But did you know that apparently that was the first time that reindeers actually had names? So before, it was the legend was that Santa had his reindeers, but they didn't have the names that we associate with them today until that poem came out.
What were the names of the reindeer?
Donner, Blitzen, and then seven other ones.
Dancer,
Prancer, Dancer, Nick and Roy. I think we must have nine there.
Nick. I know Nick's. Nick got Nick's the last one.
Yeah. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
There you
go. Do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
He is not mentioned in that poem, though. That came much later. That came in 1939. That story was written.
That's when the other reindeers unionized and
yeah, they wouldn't let him play any reindeer games because he didn't have a membership or something.
That's right. That's right.
Why?
And Rudolph had to come in and save the day.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Richard. Hang on one sec. Yeah. Oh, you know what? The bartender needs a little bit of a break. But you know what? You are a former
you
bartender.
You could fill in, right?
Yeah, right.
You
yeah. I used to tend bar. I can probably shake up some eggnogs for you.
Ah, there you go. So yeah. Well, Richard, thank you for joining us here at this party. So we'll meet you up at the bar in just a few minutes.
All right on.
You're listening to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. We thank you for joining us this Christmas. Oh, somebody at the door. Let me check and see who it is.
Guest.
Hey, it's Dan Riskin.
Hey, how you doing?
Somebody take his blindfold off.
There you go.
Or better yet, leave it on.
Yeah, put it back on. You guys don't look so good.
Dan Riskin from iHeartRadio. Thank you so much for stopping by. Oh, you did get our invitation.
Well, if that's what you call it, an invitation, yes, I certainly got something, and the blindfold seems to have been part of it.
But the dog sled, that was the best part, right?
That was nice. That was nice.
Well, welcome to the North Pole.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Wait, I thought it was nondescript. You just told them where we are.
Oh, we can tell them the North Pole. It's a big place.
That's right. They don't know where in the North Pole.
No. Yeah.
So normally...
there are several different North Poles. I mean, there's the definition by where it is on the map, and there's the definition of where the compass points, and there's the definition of the point about which the Earth rotates. Those are three different North Poles. So even if you told me North Pole and... You know, I would only have a 1 in 3 chance of knowing where I was.
Exactly.
Even if you were right, I don't trust that either.
I love coming up here for the Northern Polish kielbasa.
Oh, no, that's not why. That's not why. See, that's why we wanted to invite someone with a scientific background like Dan Riskin, because Dan Riskin is the iHeartRadio science correspondent. And normally I...
And he makes us look smarter?
Oh, 100%. Even, you know what? The dogs in the dog sled make us look smarter. So, Dan, normally people bring like a bottle of wine or maybe like a sweet treat or something. What have you brought for us here at this party?
I've brought reindeer knowledge, which really is like the elixir that you can drink your whole life. I mean, it's better. A wine, you drink it and it's gone. But if I teach you something about reindeer... It just feeds you for a lifetime. It's, you know, give a man a fish, that thing. Well,
all right, I would have appreciated the wine, but go ahead.
Sure. Well, this is something to think about when you're drinking the wine you get from the next guest.
Okay, so tell us about reindeer.
Well, so here's the thing about reindeer that's kind of interesting. If you go to outside your house at the North Pole, and it's winter, and it's cold outside, you will see your breath. And the reason you see your breath is because there is warm air coming out of your lungs. It's full of water. It's full of humidity. And when it goes out there, the air is so cold, it can't hold that water anymore. And so it crystallizes. It becomes ice or water or something, vapor. And it appears so you can see it. But every time you do that, you're losing water. Now, you evolved in Africa, in the savannas of Africa, where it was a lot warmer. And so your body does not have any reason to have a protection against breathing out steam. But if you live in the Arctic and you spend a lot of time up there, water is an issue because you are just wasting it every time you breathe. And so for an animal, you know, you could say, sure, they could lick the ice or they could eat snow or whatever, but then they have to pay all the heat cost of warming that water up for their body. So like licking ice is not a great strategy. It's better if you can find a way to breathe that doesn't waste water. Mm. And that's what reindeer have done. And so the way they do this is to have a very cold nose. So they, if you have a thermal camera, you know, like sometimes you go to like a science center and they have a thermal camera and you can see the heat on your body and you can see when people, you know, break wind and stuff, and it's very funny.
If you saw me?
Yeah, we have the
footage. Yeah, that was Roy, yeah.
We have the footage. We took it offline immediately. The children at the science center were scarred terribly. There were tears. They called in counselors. I mean, it was bad. I mean,
it's a fact of life. They should get used to
it. It is. Go ahead. It is. But it just seems like you went over the top walking into that crowd of kids before you farted. I just feel like you could have, there was a discreet corner you could have gone to, but no, you had to go right up to that table where they were all playing.
Sometimes things sound funnier in your head than when you do them. Yeah. But go on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this may be a case of that for me too. Okay. So anyway, the reindeer, if you put a thermal camera on their face, you will see that the tip of the nose is actually about 10 degrees Celsius or more colder than the rest of the body. And so what ends up happening is that as the air goes out of the lungs and down and then through the mouth towards the nostrils, going through along the tongue, down that snout, it's getting cooled down there. And because it's getting cooled down there, the water starts to condense there. Instead of condensing out in the air, it turns into water droplets in the mouth.
That
so they're captured. And so that reindeer is getting that water. It can drink it. And as a result, when the air gets to the tip of the nose and it's colder, it goes out. It's not quite as warm as it would be for your breath. But the trick is that because they have this exchange system, when they breathe in a fresh breath, this is another difference between reindeer and us. When we breathe in a fresh breath, it's cold as all get out right when it gets to our lungs. But for them, the air comes in cold at the nose, but then it's got this gradient to start warming up as it passes along the tongue. And then it goes down into the lungs and it's not warm, but it's better than it would have been if they didn't have this long, cold nose. And so this is called a countercurrent exchange system, where the blood that's flowing out towards the tip of the nose is getting colder and the blood that's flowing back is getting warmer. And so what you end up with is blood and the body parts and the tissues all being colder out at the tip of the nose. And that is what is under Rudolph's red nose. That's what's happening with the blood in his nose. I will say, I mean, the one other little tangent of this is these countercurrent exchange systems exist in a bunch of different places. And one that's really neat to see that you can see all the time is anytime a seagull is standing on an ice floe or a duck is standing on the ice, you can see that it's not melting the ice. There isn't a little puddle where it's standing. It's got the same thing going for its feet. It lets its feet get cold because why waste the energy warming up the ice? So they keep their feet at like 5 degrees Celsius or whatever that is in Fahrenheit. I can't speak American. And then that way they're not wasting energy warming up that ice and standing in a puddle. They can let it cool down and then they save energy.
What is it called?
Countercurrent, because the blood that's going out is going right along the vessels that are coming in, and they're exchanging heat. They're not exchanging, you know, oxygen or anything like that, but they're close enough.
That's exactly what I did when I was in that group of kids.
Yes.
By the way, five degrees Celsius is 41 Fahrenheit.
Counterflatulence.
That's what it was.
Yes, counterflatulence.
And
when they kicked you out of the science center, that was the counterflatulence system that they had in
there. CFS.
No idea they had security guards either.
Well, this warm and lovely Christmas party went south real quick. When you were talking about hot air, I knew you were talking about us. So thank you, Dan, for giving us that bit of information.
You notice how he had such an intelligent thing to say, Nick? It really makes us look dumb.
Thank you for joining us here at this party. I mean, if you want, there's some hors d'oeuvres there in the corner. We have some finger foods, and we do have some wine because other people brought wine. But Dan decided to bring us facts about reindeers. Anything else you brought for us, Dan?
You know what? The only other thing I brought is that I like to think about the Santa thing and how he gets to all the houses as an example of the traveling salesman problem. So a lot of people spend time talking about, you know, how fast he would have to go to hit all the houses overnight, which he does.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a scientific fact. But part of the way that he accomplishes this is to do the order of houses optimally, right? So like when it gets to Edmonton, he does all the Edmonton houses. He doesn't do an Edmonton house and then a Winnipeg house and then go back to Edmonton. You know what I mean?
No, right. Of course.
So, yeah, that'd be silly. That would be a rookie Santa move, and he's an old pro.
Yeah.
So anyway, traveling salesman problem is the mathematical branch that's behind the whole Santa thing, and that's part of how he maintains that efficiency. And you also see that, you know, when the UPS truck is trying to figure out which packages to deliver and in what order. But it's an old mathematical problem that has been formulated since the 1930s and continues to be worked on today. And so whenever I think of Santa, I think of the beauty of math and the mysteries that still exist, and the fact that, you know, it's still a nut to crack. Maybe somebody can make Santa's job a little easier if they study math a little harder.
You see what he did there? Nut to crack, like Nutcracker Christmas.
I did do that. Yeah.
It was a little segue thing there. Can I tell one to Dan?
Yeah.
Do you know what the Icelandic Christmas tradition is of the Christmas cat, or also called the Yule cat?
No.
The Yule cat would come around and he would gobble up small children at Christmas. He would eat them if they didn't have new warm clothes that they got for Christmas. How ingenious is that? Have you ever seen kids opening up gifts? And they go, I remember my son, he would open up a toy, he'd go, die, and then he'd open up like a sweater and he'd go, oh, clothes.
Right.
Okay. And if he knew about the Yule cat, he would be like, thank you, I'm putting this sweater on right now, right?
Oh, that's great.
Well, you know what, Dan? Thank you so much for joining us here at our party. You know, feel free to mingle about. You'll recognize some of the other people here.
The elves are going to come and get Dan and take him for a tour of what they call Christmas Town here at the North Pole.
Oh, I think I know what that means, and that's going to hurt a lot. So I'm going to get some food before that happens.
Well, Dan, that's where the Yule cat is.
iHeartRadio.
You're going to get me twice.
Dan,
boy, you got me once when I was a kid at the Science Center. You're not going to get me again.
That was you. Dan Riskin from iHeartRadio, science correspondent. Thank you so much for joining us here at our Christmas party. Have some fun. Like I said, there's some hors d'oeuvres there in the corner, and there's a bar right there. So thanks for joining us, and from all of us to you and your family, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks a lot, guys.
Merry Christmas, Dan.
You're listening to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. We thank you for joining us this Christmas. I'll get it. Hang on.
There's another guest, Nick.
Hey, it's Leanne Phillipson.
Hey, guys.
Leanne. Hey. Merry Christmas.
I love the Christmas scarf you have. Did you make that or did you buy that? It looks gorgeous.
Oh, no, of course I made it in my spare time. Okay. Me and my knitting needles.
It says LV on it. It's Louis Vuitton. She didn't
No, I thought it was be LP for Leanne Phillipson, like she had it monogrammed, but no, it's LV for Louis Vuitton. Yeah. Sure. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Leanne, it would be lovely vegetables.
Yes, that's very true. I like that. I like that a lot.
There you go. One for Roy. There you go. What a kiss.
There we go. Yeah, one already.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, thanks for joining us.
I hope this is all a whole organic fair, and you've got, you know, your colorful fruits and vegetables for all the antioxidants.
Yeah, we do.
All those things.
Christmas.
Yeah. When we called the butcher shop, we said, could you give us as many colorful vegetables and organic materials as you can?
I bet. Perfect.
Now, Leanne, like, I don't want to be like a horrible host or anything, but normally people bring to a party a bottle of wine or a piece of cake or something, but you brought something else with you. What did you bring with you?
Well, I brought like three of the craziest things that I've come across that people eat at Christmas time, or have eaten, I should say. Maybe they don't do it right now.
Well, for example, what?
Peacock meat.
Ooh.
Now, I left my peacock at home because I thought it might sort of disrupt the party.
I brought mine with me.
Did you? Perfect. Okay.
You always have it with you. Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that we're not going to, you know, kind of delve into this medieval dish here and like make peacock pie, roast it, you know, kind of do something with this beautiful feathered bird.
Peacock would probably taste like pheasant.
I would imagine, actually. Yes. I think you're right.
You pluck the peacock, of course, and you bring the feathers and you decorate.
Well, no, you
feathers.
Pluck the peacock. You use the quills to make your Christmas cards out, and then you eat the peacock for Christmas.
Right.
Well, I would love to have a quill that would be a really lovely present to take to people, right? And then say, here's a beautiful quilt, but then don't tell them that that's what's going to, you know, it came from a bird that's going to be on the plate, right, later on.
Yeah. What's in the pie?
It's peacock pie.
Peacock pie. Can you imagine?
No.
Honestly, I mean, no. Like, seriously, this was like a 16th century thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, then
let's leave it there, Leanne.
Henry the VII said, no more peacock, let's do turkey. And I think the rest is history.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Wow. So so King Henry VIII, of course, ate all the peacocks and all of the turkeys because he was known to indulge in a thing or two.
Well, yes.
And he even made a song about him. I'm Henry VIII.
Yes, of course he did. Yeah, exactly. What else do you have?
I've got some fried caterpillars.
Fried? Mm. Wait a minute. Hold on. No. Leanne, you talking about fried stuff?
Yeah, I brought this one from South Africa, actually. It's quite a tradition there. Right. And the emperor moth caterpillars. Well, I mean, like, we've had a bit of a cricket phase, right? We had, like, the cricket protein powder and the chocolate-covered crickets and things like that. So yeah. I thought, well, why not? Why not bring a little bit of South Africa? You know, just bring it on with some of these fried caterpillars. And they're amazing for protein, so that's really going to help to balance out all the booze that we're going to have.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, they're really available around about this time of year, so, you know, go local and all those kind of things. And yeah, how does that sound? Are you guys queuing up already?
No, I've tried it. I was in South Africa and I had some fried caterpillars, and I was in South Africa for like 90 days. And I woke up one morning and flew out of the hotel room as a butterfly.
Yeah. He's so old, he was in the cocoon. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was in the movie Cocoon.
Yeah, remember, Roy and I have been friends for 40 years, and Roy, you know, keeps making jokes about how old I am. He forgets, and because of his age, he's 2 months older than I am. He technically is older than I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I've embalmed myself with liquor.
Exactly.
That'll do the trick. Your liver is nicely pickling.
So fried caterpillars, how do you buy them? By the foot? See what I did there?
Okay.
Fried caterpillar, though. I mean, that's got to be like a gooey. I don't want that.
I don't think I'd really want to either. I mean, it depends on how visual a person you are, because you can kind of think of, like, you know, I mean, caterpillars become beautiful butterflies, and there's no way that you, there's many places you can go.
I'd rather eat the butterfly. It's easier to hold them by the wings, you know?
Really? Oh, no.
I don't know.
I mean, that's as bad as a peacock feather.
Hold on. PETA on line two.
Ooh, they'd be great inside of a PETA.
With a shmear tzatziki, you're laughing. Wow.
Shmear tzatziki.
What else did you bring us here at this Christmas party, Leanne?
Let me give her one. Let me tell her one.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Do you know what Schwetzkuchen is?
Deutschland.
I'm doing it again. Okay, Schwetzkuchen, and it must be said that way. It's
actually
Z-W-E-T-C-H-E-K-U-K-E-N, because Germans don't know how to spell things with less letters than 30.
No.
It is a German plum tart or cake.
Ooh.
Now, my grandmother was from Bavaria, and we would make it every year at Christmas time. She'd get Italian plums, the dark, long Italian plums.
Yeah.
They call them black plums, I think.
Okay. Like
blue plums, whatever.
Yep.
And we would cut, she would cut them in half, but she would go through bag after bag of them.
Hmm.
And so her fingers would turn purple, and I'd do it with her, and we'd have these purple fingers.
Yep.
And then she'd make this pie crust out of like 18,000 pounds of butter.
Of course.
It's perfect. And then she'd lay out the pie crust on these long pans, and you'd put in rows these plums that were halved into the dough, to pushing them into the dough so they looked real pretty too.
Yeah.
And then she would sprinkle sugar all over them so you could see the sugar was like a lining on them almost. And then she'd take more butter and just keep putting little slivers of butter all over the place.
Wow.
And then that would cook until it was brown on the top and the sugar had coagulated with the butter.
Caramelized. Nice and crispy.
You know what? Leanne's forehead is
so much.
Listen, Leanne's forehead is sweating right now with all of the fried stuff and the butter. Like, she's fanning herself right now.
Because
she's just
You would have eaten this. Oh my!
Probably well, I love a plum recipe, and there is actually a cake that I make. It's a Lucy Waverman plum torte, and I do the same thing. So I cut them in half and I shove them in the dough, and it's full of butter, full of flour, full of sugar. It's like a full-on thing. So I do appreciate this tradition, and there are some times if you're going to eat something like that, just go full out, like butter, sugar, like you know, it's got to be that, and then you don't need to do it again for ages.
What do you call it again?
Until you go blind, and then
what? Well, what is it called again?
Schwetzgekuchen. Schwetzgekuchen.
Yeah, a little penicillin will help you with that one.
And I was just going to tell Leanne I've picked up a few tarts in my time.
What else do you have in your bag of goodies there, Leanne?
Okay, so I have brought the centerpiece. So move over, turkey, because I've brought a sheep's head.
Ooh.
Which is a delicacy. Well, it kind of used to be years and years and years, days gone by. It was eaten by the poor, but now it's a complete delicacy. And I have torched the skin. I removed its brain. Mm. Salted and smoked it.
Wonder she seems smarter today, but go ahead.
Right. And then after boiled, I like to steam it for about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to serve it with a side of sausage, mashed rutabaga, and potatoes.
And they asked the sheep before they cut off his head, is this going to hurt? They went, nah.
No, me and Leanne would be up there with those big hammers like a whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Wow.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us here at the Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. So feel free to mingle about and leave whenever you can. But
yes.
We want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the food. Yeah. As bizarre as it is, Leanne, thank you so much. I'm sure that the people are going to just love the caterpillars and the goat head.
Yeah. And don't forget the peacock pie.
How do people listen to Leanne's show?
Oh, just search for Eat This with Leanne anywhere you listen and find your podcasts or listen to this one even.
It's in the iHeartRadio network, and Leanne is part of the iHeart family, and thank you. You truly are family. Thank you for joining us at our Christmas party, and have a great time. And from all of us here at Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, Leanne, to you and your family, Merry Christmas.
Yes, and that, let's not make it so long. So Merry Christmas, Leanne.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Welcome back to Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Christmas Party. So Richard, of course, is a former bartender, as we told you earlier, and what is the name of your latest podcast, and what is it about, Richard?
It's called Last Call with Richard Krause, and it's available on Spotify and Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah. And I take you around to the world's greatest bars, and I tell you the history of the bar. I tell you, places like Harry's New York Bar, where the Bloody Mary was invented, or we go to the Frolic Room on Hollywood Boulevard, where Charles Bukowski used to hang out. The Black Dahlia was a regular there. And I take you to all these places, and then we talk to really interesting people that have some connection to it. And, you know, it's a little harder to go out and socialize these days. So now you can stay home and listen to my podcast to pretend that you're at the bar.
What is the name of it?
It's called Last Call with Richard Krause.
Oh, okay, good. Now make us a drink.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the eggnog?
Well, the eggnog is, you know, something that I think that we've probably all kind of grown up drinking, but I would always drink it cold. You would buy it in a carton at the store, bring it home, throw it in the fridge, throw some rum or brandy in it. But the first ones were served hot. And they were considered like, you know, the perfect thing to drink after a long day of being out in the snow or whatever. And George Washington actually had a recipe here that, I mean, I'd say I'd like to try it, but I don't know if I would survive this. So it is 1 quart of cream, 1 quart of milk, 12 tablespoons of sugar, 1 pint of brandy, 1/2 pint of rye whiskey, 1/2 pint of Jamaican rum, 1/4 pint of sherry. You mix all that together. And then you slowly bring it to a boil and serve it to your guests and watch as they fall over around the Christmas tree.
Holy mackerel, you drink that and you fly across the Delaware.
That's right.
Well, no wonder he made it through Valley Forge.
How about hot buttered rum?
Yeah, now these you don't see that much.
Did he say hot buttered buns?
Hot, but no, hot buttered rum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't hear too well.
Well, you don't see these very often anymore because they're about 300 calories per drink. And a lot of people just think that that's too much because it's, you know, pretty simple. It's brown sugar. It's a bunch of butter. You mix all that together. You add honey, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, a little bit of salt, and then a whole bunch of rum and some boiling water. And you mix that up. But this dates back to just around the time of the American Revolution. And back in those days, Americans believed that rum was nutritious and a strengthener of the body. Clean drinking water was a little harder to come by. So on average, Americans drank about half a pint of hard alcohol, usually rum, because it was cheap and plentiful, per person per day. This is a lot of rum.
Nick does that. Nick does that now.
He still does that.
Listen, guys, to the quart.
I drink now and again. I'll have one now and then again and again and again.
That's right. But they would keep tea under lock and key because tea was super expensive. But yeah, rum was much more widely available. And so there's a lot of rum drinks that came out. That's why eggnog has rum in it. That's why there's so many drinks with rum. But hot buttered rums, they're delicious, but, you know, probably not particularly good for you, despite what the American revolutionaries thought.
Richard, thank you very much. And from all of us here at Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, to you and your family, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Nick, you said to me before that you got up here, a week ago, and you actually had a Zoom call with Santa. And you recorded it?
Sure did.
Let's hear it.
Yes, Roy, I have with me via Zoom, and we did record this a couple of days before tonight because he's already on his journey, so he's kind of busy. Santa, hello, Santa, welcome.
Well, most welcome, and thank you for having me. I just love every minute of this.
Well, thank you, Santa. I know that you're in a journey, as we said. And, you know, I've always been excited about having you come to my house because I've been a really good boy this year. I know Roy's been a good boy. What does it look like so far this year on your list?
Well, with all due respect, young man, Roy definitely is on the nice list. You're working your way. You're on the cusp. I say. You're almost there.
All right. Well, what do I have to do to get on the nice list?
I think what you have to do is just put a big smile on your face when you wake up in the morning and just say Merry Christmas to everyone.
I could do that. 100%. Okay, I could do that. Cool. So, thank you for joining us. I know you've been busy leading up to Christmas. So, how have the preparations gone leading up to your journey?
Well, the preparations have been actually quite good. I have so many elves now. By the way, did you know that I have now elves from all over the world?
Really?
Yes. And it's actually very good information.
Yeah, I know. Instead of useless information, I appreciate
yes.
that. Yeah, I know. So you have elves all over the world. And what is the purpose of having elves all over the world?
Oh, that's because we put together a whole pile of depots for toys and gifts, you know, because the sleigh can only handle so much. And then after I drop off the first load, I immediately go to the depot that's in a hidden country. And we keep doing that right around the world.
Oh, I get it. So what it does is it's like an efficiency system, right? So this way all the presents can be delivered in the one night.
Yes.
I like that very much. Awesome. So in all the countries that you visit, every single country in the world, every single continent in one night, could you tell me a couple of the interesting places that you visit year after year when it comes to Christmas time? What kind of different traditions and different ways that people celebrate Christmas around the world?
Oh, well, you see, when I get to Europe, especially when I land over in Italy,
yes.
instead of cookies, I guess you could call biscotti a cookie, right. but also I get some gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
They leave me some gnocchi.
Oh, gnocchi. Oh, that's like the potato pasta.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we've had that before. I mean, I'm Italian, and we've had homemade gnocchi. My grandmother used to make those. Oh, they were really delicious. So you go to Italy, that's what they make. What do they put on there? Tomato sauce, I guess.
Well, no, but because I can't have the sauce. It's sort of just a little bit because I don't want to get all my gloves in, my clothes off.
Yeah, messy, and also you know? It's the acid reflux that becomes a problem.
of course, yes.
Where else have you visited that was quite interesting?
Well, here's something interesting. When I stop off in Poland, they decided no more cookies to Santa, a slice of kielbasa.
Well, thank you very much, Santa Claus. Thank you for joining us on Nick and Roy's Total Useless Christmas Party. Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Boy, Roy, I can't believe how well this party went. This is the first time we've done this Totally Useless Christmas Party. I had a great time. Christmas, for me, is warmth and smiling and having good fun with people. And I could not be more grateful than to spend this time and every Christmas with my best friend in the whole wide world, Bill.
No, Roy, I do. Roy. I got to say that, too. I do have to say that. We get to spend every week together. We work on the show. And it's great because it's fantastic that we do get to spend time together. We're best friends for such a long time. And I feel like we're together every week because we're on Zoom talking to each other like this, even though we're 1,500 miles apart.
We love every
minute. I'm thankful for everything that life gives me, especially at Christmas time. Please, again, like I said in the beginning, call up a friend, call up a family member, and talk to them for the holidays, and you'll be happy you did.
On behalf of all of us here at Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, Merry Christmas. And Roy, Merry Christmas to you too.
And you too, and everybody out there. I'm Roy.
I'm Nick. Merry Christmas.